This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to the Mom Room Podcast. My name is Renee Rina, and I am definitely the mom friend you have always wanted. All right. Welcome to Thursday's episode. I have my bottom retainer in. I don't know why I didn't take it out, but I'm hoping that it won't make me sound like Sid the Sloth on Ice Age. So bear with me. I could take it out, but I'm going to try and do it with it in and see what happens. I find it makes me drool a little bit, like it fills my mouth with saliva. So maybe I'll just, I don't know. I was going to say maybe I'll swallow more, but that sounds okay. Anyways, getting into the episode. Okay. I put out a story on Instagram and asked you guys to submit your questions for today's episode because I'm going to do like a Q&A, which I love doing because I love hearing people's questions and answering them and talking to myself. Okay, I have to take out the retainer. There we go. That's much better. Okay, so I got some really great questions. One question that I absolutely loved was about what I thought about what Meghan Markle said on the Ellen show, which I didn't even know about. I saw like a small post. It was kind of like a meme on Instagram about it. I didn't think too much about it. I was just kind of like, oh, like, you know, that sucks that she said that. She probably regrets it now. But when I actually sat down and I was thinking about what to answer for that question, I had so many things to say, and I decided to make it its own episode for next Thursday. So, because I was like writing notes down and I was like, oh my God, so many things to unpack and go over. So yeah, that's going to be its own episode next Thursday. I'm going to call it like Dear Meghan Markle or something. So that's that. Some other questions that I got that I really liked was, what would I do differently in pregnancy and in postpartum or early motherhood if I were to do it again? So one major thing that I've talked about quite a bit is preparing for postpartum and not so much preparing for labor and delivery. I feel like because of how labor and delivery are portrayed in movies and on TV, it makes us afraid of it. Okay, I get it. It can be traumatic. It's not, you know, it's weird. It's like they make us afraid of it, but then at the same time, we're given all these messages that it's supposed to be the most amazing and beautiful and like best day of our lives. So it's always like these conflicting messages. So anyways, I did so much prep for labor and delivery, like learning about everything, and which is great. Like, that's my personality. I over-prepare for everything. But at the end of the day, when you're in care of professionals, whether it be like a midwife or, you know, physicians, nurses at the hospital, it's like they know what's going on. For me anyways, like, I found I was almost like in a daze. Like, I was just so focused on getting Milo out and like doing everything that they told me to do and, you know, like focusing on that, that I wasn't so much like thinking about, oh, what stage of labor am I in right now? You know, and what does that mean? What's happening in my body? Like, so all, like, for the most part, a lot of the prep that I did, it's not like I really used it in any way. Some of the prep that I would still do in the future if I were to do it over again was like what to bring to the hospital, because that, like, I was super comfortable at the hospital. I made sure I had everything that I could possibly want. Did we make multiple trips to the car to bring in all my shit? Yes, we did. Well, my sister and my husband did. But like, I was set. I had everything you could possibly imagine. And I have a blog post on the blog, which I'm not super active on it anymore, but I'm hoping to bring it back maybe in the new year. But yeah, I have a post on the site that lists everything that I brought to the hospital. Well, like if you're pregnant, I would definitely go check out that list. And maybe some things you'll be like, oh, I don't need that. But maybe some things you'll be like, wow, that's a great idea. So for me, like some things that I would have never thought of, but I did like thorough research, was like a little portable speaker so that you can listen to music, a long phone cord, because if you're in bed and you want to charge your phone, a lot of it, like you're not going to be near a plug. So you want to have a really long cord. I brought my sound machine, which was like so helpful. I brought like little, what's it called? Like the sage rollers, like the essential oil like rollers. I brought my own roll of toilet paper because their toilet paper at the hospital is a little bit scratchy. So I brought my own toilet paper. I brought like, you know, a robe. I brought slippers. That was really key too, because you're going to be walking around the hospital room. So yeah, like I have a thorough list on that blog post. So check that out if you're interested. Something else I would do differently is not focus on things that didn't end up mattering. Like, you know, spending so much time on the nursery and like setting up the nursery, because literally for the first year of Milo's life, we were barely in there. Like, barely in there. We were always in the living room and in the kitchen, which was like our house was open concept. So we were never in his room except for, you know, at nighttime when we were going to put him to bed or before nap to like rock in the chair and read him a book. So yeah, I wouldn't have spent countless hours planning out the nursery and having my dad come and set up a freaking laser machine to like make these really straight lines and paint them across the walls. Like, good God. So yeah, I would have focused more on postpartum. Like, where are we actually going to live in the house? Like, set up that area, you know, get your situation at the sink ready for like sterilizing breast pump stuff if you're breastfeeding, or sterilizing bottles. Like, have a little, you know, like a setup so that everything runs smoothly. Focus on postpartum. Like, do you think you're going to want visitors? Do you want to set boundaries before you have the baby? Instead of, you know, like me, I didn't even think of that. I did not even consider that maybe I wouldn't want visitors until I was in the situation. So, you know, it would have been worthwhile for me to like have a conversation with people beforehand and be like, you know, in the event that I don't want visitors, like just know that, you know, we're thinking of you and we'll let you know like as soon as we're ready to have people over, blah, blah, blah. My dream is to create a greeting card that does that for moms, you know, like lays it all out and just like explains to people that maybe like our new family might not want visitors in early postpartum and blah, blah, blah. Hey. This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transition to table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddo's mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of The Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth, is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home, but for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. I had to take a drink of water. Okay. So in postpartum and early motherhood, some things that, and I've been really lucky because things that I would do differently, I ended up noticing very quickly in early motherhood and in postpartum. And so I was able to like adjust quickly. Something that I found myself doing was comparing Milo's development to, because I had two friends who also had babies literally at the same time. One was born like a month before Milo or 2 months. No, I think just a month. And then the other one was born an hour after Milo. Okay. My friend was down the hall at the same hospital having her baby. She was waiting for the OB to finish with me so that her baby could be delivered. So that's how close in age they were. But she was further along in her pregnancy. So I had Milo, I was induced at 38 weeks. So really, like, her little babe had weeks more of development, you know, in the womb. But you don't think about that when you have your baby out in the world. You're just like, oh, they're the exact same age. And Milo was born small. So there's that as well. So anyways, I found myself like comparing his development to their development, and they were like much bigger babies. They were in the womb a lot longer than him. And so I quickly started to realize like Milo is going to go on his own developmental path. And, you know, at the end of the day, if there's something seriously wrong, we will catch it and we will bring it up with a doctor. But for the most part, babies are going to hit these different milestones at such different times. And there's a huge like range that is appropriate for them to reach these milestones. I think I have an episode with a child physiotherapist way back in the episodes, and we specifically talk all about developmental milestones and how, you know, there's a huge range for ages, like when is appropriate for them to hit these certain things like sitting up and holding their head up and things like that. So yeah, I would definitely not compare Milo to other babies around his age. And then at the same time, not compare myself to other moms and what they're choosing to do. So both my friends with babies the same age did baby-led weaning, and they were like super good at it. You know, their kids would come over and they were just like eating full giant ass strawberries. And I was like having a mini panic attack inside watching them eat. And everyone is so calm and like enjoying themselves. And I'm like, oh my God, I am just not made out to have a baby that does baby-led weaning because I am too anxious about it. So instead of like feeling like I'm doing something wrong or like that Milo's not getting the best possible experience like eating food, I don't know, it's so silly, to just kind of realize that no, I'm super anxious when it comes to baby-led weaning. It doesn't matter. Like, I bought the baby-led weaning books. I was like super knowledgeable about it. I understood that like it doesn't have a greater risk of kids choking, like all kinds of stuff. Like, I knew the information, but it didn't change the fact that I was having raging anxiety when I would try baby-led weaning with Milo. So I tried it like once and I was like, not for me, because I have to feed him like multiple times a day and I don't want to be having raging anxiety every time I have to feed him. So it's going to be more enjoyable for all of us if I just puree his friggin' foods. So that's what I did. And then, you know, moving forward, I just had that attitude with regard to everything. Sleep training, like how I fed him, breastfeeding. It was just like, I'm more focused on what works for all of us instead of just what people say you should be doing. Because as when I did my episode with Kids Eat and Collar, Jennifer, something that she said that I absolutely loved was, something can be best practice on paper, and that is best practice when everything else is accommodating that best practice. But best practice is not going to be best for every single family, because there's so many different things to consider before you can label something as best practice. So, you know, it's similar to, and I hope you all listened to Tuesday's episode with Dr. Tanya Kotler, because she kind of speaks to that as well. You know, we focus so much on what is best just for the baby, but when you look at the whole picture, it has to be what's best for baby and parents. And that's just, I don't know where we got off track, like being so focused on baby, 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 and like mom and dad just do not matter at all. Like, oh, you're having raging anxiety, or like you're in like a mass depression every time you have to breastfeed. I don't care. It's what's best for the baby. Like, no, that's like, we need to get away from that way of thinking. So anyways, there was that. And speaking of, one of the questions that someone sent in was, what are secure attachment signs in a baby? So I would highly recommend that you check out Tuesday's episode, because she goes into great detail about attachment, a secure attachment, what that means, and how to foster that in a child. It is fascinating, and she is so knowledgeable in this area. It was like my favorite episode ever. The last question that I'm going to talk about is, why did we only have one child, or how did we decide to only have one? So I talk about this a lot. I also have a blog post specifically about this topic, because in my experience, when Milo was really young, I mean like under a year old, and people would always ask like, oh, are you guys thinking, like, you guys trying for another one? Are you going to have another one? I always felt awkward when people would ask me that, because in my mind, I didn't want to have another one at that point. And I would always catch myself saying something like, oh, like, we don't know, like, we're not sure, and like, just kind of avoid the question. And I was like, why do I feel awkward just saying no to people? Like, oh, no, we don't want another one right now. And it's like, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way if you've decided to just have one child. Like, you almost feel like people are expecting you to want to have more. And I know for me, I felt like if I just said, oh no, I don't want to have more kids, that people would assume that I regretted having Milo, or like I didn't enjoy like what I had then. Like, I didn't enjoy being a mom. Once I realized that, then I just started saying no, but it still feels awkward. Like you should have more than one, which is absolute nonsense. And so when I started to really think about why I just wanted one, I feel like when I think about having more than one child, oftentimes I'm like romanticizing, or like I'm making this big story up in my mind about what having a second child or more children will do to my life. It's like, you know, like what you see in movies and, you know, these big families and on social media. And that's not what it is. Like, that's the picture that's put forth. But, and, you know, obviously there's big families. Like, I have two siblings and I had a great childhood and I'm really close with them. And, but it's like, I romanticize the idea of having more children when in reality, they could grow up and not even speak. You know, that's very common among siblings. You know, some siblings have like a terrible experience with their siblings. Like you can't control that. You also, like, I always get nervous about, you know, what if we had more children and like one was like, you know, like really like chronically ill and it could totally like flip our lives upside down. Because right now I am super happy with our life. I am super happy just having Milo. Like I'm happy with my husband and I'm happy with like the three of us and our family dynamic. So it, while like I can sit here and think, oh yeah, having more kids is going to be like glorious and we're going to have this big family and like picture perfect, it's not, that's not guaranteed. And I could have a second child and, you know, have raging postpartum depression and it could alter the relationship that I have with my husband and with Milo. And, you know, like you don't know what's going to happen. And so in my mind, I'm just like, I am super happy right now. Like, love our family, love our relationship with one another. I don't foresee having more children like making me happier. Like, I don't know. And I remember talking to someone and they were saying like people focus on the wrong things when it comes to having more children. And, you know, for them, it was more about like putting another human on earth that is going to be like a contributing member of society and, you know, knowing that you're going to raise them well and feeling good about that. And like, I don't have that desire either to be like, I need to put someone else on the earth. I don't know. So yeah, it's a strange thing. And I think, you know, the only reason I would want to have a second child is for Milo's benefit. But like I said, at the end of the day, that's not something that's guaranteed. And you don't even know how that's going to go. Like, it could completely disrupt your life. But I don't think people consider that part of it. Or maybe they do. And they're just like, oh no, like, I know that I really want to have more children, so I'm going to do it. But I'm not in that situation. I don't have that, you know, major desire to have more children. And yeah, I really think about both ends of the spectrum. Like, it could be great, but it also could be horrible. Yeah. And maybe people are listening and they're like, oh my God, she's saying having another child could be horrible. And it's like, well, I'm just looking at like things realistically, you know? So anyways, that's my spiel on why we are choosing not to have more children. I don't know. It's so, it's such a strange topic. I even feel awkward like having just talked about that stuff. Hopefully it made sense. It's hard to verbalize in a way that makes me not feel like people are going to be like judging what I'm saying, but that's okay. I'm just being honest. Those are my thoughts. I'm not saying other people have to think the same way, but I know I get this question a lot because I think a lot of people struggle with the decision to only have one child. And, you know, like I've had people reach out to me saying that they're in therapy working through whether or not they actually want to have more children because it's such a difficult decision. And I feel for you if you are, you know, unsure and trying to make that decision because it is, it's a difficult one. Yeah, that being said, my husband's also an only child. So he like, for me, I look at my experience with my siblings, but my husband doesn't really have that. Like, he grew up by himself for the most part as an only child. So anyways, so we're both good with just one. And yeah, all right. So So those are the questions that I'm going to answer today because it's already 23 minutes long because I'm a blabbermouth. I got a new computer and it is still transferring files and documents from my laptop over to this new one. So Lord knows when it says there's an hour and 50 minutes left now. I'm going to just get some work done on my phone, I guess. I got this episode recorded. Maybe I'll vacuum. I'm going to make some chili tonight. That's it for me. Thanks so much for listening. And if you haven't already, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Or I think on Apple Podcasts, it's follow now. It's not subscribe. Whatever they tell you to do, could you just do that? Because it'll help me stay up in the charts and, you know, all the good stuff. That's it for me. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Renee Rena with the little underscore. And then the podcast account on Instagram is at The Mom Room Podcast. We are trying to get content pushed out to TikTok for the podcast starting now since my sister is helping me create content. And we are also going to get some YouTube stuff up hopefully soon. So look out for that. I'm on YouTube. I think it's The Mom Room. You can search for that if you want to subscribe. So yeah, thanks guys. I hope your children sleep tonight.